time. 31 days, 31 podcasts. 31 days, 31 podcasts. Prepare yourself for helpful snowman quadrilling.
Welcome back to Podoween, day two, part two, October 2nd, Podoween. Yesterday we talked a little bit about Nightmare on Elm Street. I keep wanting to say Friday the 13th. It's kind of weird that the Jason movies are called Friday the 13th, right? Like, why wasn't that called Camp Crystal Lake or something? I don't get it. But anyway, today we're going to talk a little bit more about Nightmare on Elm Street, sort of. Because the thing is, not everybody knows that Nightmare on Elm Street is based on a true story. Now, I say that in as much as I feel like the X-Files did this once in a while, right? They'd be like, based on a true story. And then you'd be like, how much of a story? But this is... Nightmare on Elm Street's based on a true story in that it was very much inspired by real events. Real deaths of a lot of refugees who were dying in their sleep, weirdly. I have a series of newspaper articles. I think this is the earliest from February of 1981. And these are from, like, legit papers. This is not the Weekly World News. This is the Los Angeles Times, right? Okay. By Bill Curry in Portland, Oregon. You know how newspapers do that? Portland, Oregon. I wonder if that's why they do that, like, on movies and stuff. You know, they'll be like, Vancouver, and they'll show it below, because it's like, we're used to getting news that way. Portland, Oregon. In search of freedom, opportunity, and a new life, young Lang Tao brought his wife and eight children to America from a Laotian refugee camp in Thailand last July. His search ended last month. Instead of finding a new life, young Lang Tao touched off with his death a medical mystery, one that has left the city and nation's Hmong. Okay, this is Hmong, H-M-O-N-G. Just so when I say it about five different shades of the same thing, you know what I'm trying to say. Hmong tribal community is in fear and prompted a call for a federal investigation. He had been up late watching television with an uncle and slipped into bed in the early hours of January 8th. That briefly awoke his wife, Zhang Yu, but both were soon asleep. Labored breathing. Then came his labored breathing, so loud that it awakened her. She shook him. The tears ran down her face as she recounted those next moments of horror, moments in which she realized that she could do nothing more. Suddenly, her healthy 47-year-old husband was dead. Yong Lang Tao's death would have gone unremarked as several other Hmongs already had, except that he was the second Hmong in Portland to pass across Dr. Larry V. Luman's autopsy slab in 3 days. And for both Yong Lang Tao and Zhang Tao Zhang, 29, there was no explanation, no suggestion of a cause of death, not even after an autopsy, microscopic examination of the tissue, toxicology tests, and lengthy interviews with surviving relatives. Pending, Luman, the county medical examiner, wrote of the cause of the deaths. Then he learned that two other morgue pathologists here had seen two other such deaths of Laotian refugees last year. Thus, in 9 months, four men were dead with no medical explanation. All were very, very similar, says Luman. They were restricted to males, all relatively young, who died during their sleep. I don't know what we've got. He called medical officials in other cities that have large Hmong and Indo-Chinese populations, seeking indications of a more widespread pattern of death. He found none until Minneapolis officials told him that although they had not had any mysterious deaths of the Hmongs in St. Paul, St. Paul had four among the area's Hmong population of 8,000 had died mysteriously. 13 unexplained deaths. That spurred the search for more. Last week, after another Hmong man died in Minneapolis on February 17th, Luman had recorded at least 13 sudden unexplained deaths since 1978 of sleeping Laotian refugees. Additional cases were found in Seattle, Des Moines, and Orange County, California. Within the Hmong communities, which account for most of the Laotian refugee mystery deaths, there is talk of still other deaths. There have been 1920 very similar deaths, says Ku Sheng Yong Chu, a Hmong leader here, and we have never had any legitimate explanation. Some attribute the deaths to chemical agents that the Hmong and other hill tribes were exposed to during the prolonged warfare in Southeast Asia. Vang Pao, a Hmong tribal leader, who now lives in Missoula, Montana, has been quoted as saying that deaths are almost certainly linked to the chemical nerve agents used against the Hmong, many of whom once worked for the CIA. It just doesn't make sense to me, said Luman, disputing the claim. Nerve gas doesn't act this way. There's no evidence. Secondly, if it was nerve gas, why does it affect only males and only during the night? And if nerve gas doesn't affect people right... Well, I gotta turn. You know, it's like go to page 9A4. Away, if it takes 4 years, it's not very effective. Nonetheless, Republican Jim Leach has asked for a federal investigation, or Representative Jim Leach, who is a Republican from Iowa, has asked for a federal investigation of the deaths and any lingering effects of nerve agent exposure. Luman wonders whether the remote mountain people have long experienced such swift, inexplicable death, which only now, for the first time, is being scrutinized by modern medicine. Way out of whack. We do see sudden, unexplained death in younger people every year, Luman said. Maybe 4, 5, 6 in a population of 1 million. But 4 out of 2,000 refugees in Portland is way out of whack. We don't know whether this occurs in the native country to this extent. He cites Bangungut syndrome, named after the Filipino word for nightmare, that is known to strike and kill young Filipino men in what appears to be a similar manner. But for an explanation of their deaths themselves, if not their bizarre frequency, he observes, the way in which they died suddenly suggests it was the heart, a cardiac nerve conduction problem. All in their sleep suggests a defect in control of respiration, respiratory arrest. But neither leaves any physical evidence. In our village, says Widow Jiang Yu, we have never had such a drama as the death of her husband and the others. People talk about their frustration, their hopelessness over the deaths, said Ku Sheng Yang Chu. He calls the mysterious ailment a strange threat and asks, what can we do to have a good, legitimate explanation for the deaths? The Hmong community would like to see all those autopsies brought here in one central place and have a medical task force do investigation and research. Fatherless children. That will come too late for Jiang Yu and her 8 fatherless children aged 3 to 15. Except for public assistance, she says, I do not know what I will do for a living to support my children to fulfill my husband's promise. Does she wish they had never come here? I wish, she said, there had not been the political disaster and the warfare situation and we could remain in our native village. If we could have, I don't think this would have happened to my husband. However, she said, I do not blame this country. It was like a weird end to that. Do you think it's because you came to America? It seemed like she was trying to be like, well, I mean, yeah, I didn't particularly want to leave, but we didn't have a choice. But I'm not stupid. I don't think it's like, it's because we came here. So interesting, right? An unusual level of similar deaths without explanation in the night. So this one came a little later. This one is very tiny type. Hold on. I need to plug in a lamp. I'm an old man. I need a lamp to read this shit. All right, please hold. Okay, I brought over a candle. It's wooden wicked, so it may crackle. So then this came out in the Los Angeles Times July 12th. So a few months later. The attacks were all unexpected, fatal, and utterly mysterious. The 20 victims now, all but one of them young, apparently healthy men, were stricken in the middle of the night and they died in agony. Autopsies by some of the best pathologists in the country have been unable to explain the cause of the seizures, at least 4 of them occurring in Orange County. We are still baffled, said one medical investigator who has been studying the matter for almost 6 months. What is even more vexing is that all of the victims are members of the Hmong tribes, Southeast Asian refugees dispossessed of their Laotian mountain homeland because they backed the United States in an ill-fated war. These sudden and unexplained deaths are deeply distressing to the Hmongs, fiercely independent and superstitious nomads who did not even have their own written language until 30 years ago. About 35,000 of the Hmongs have come to the United States in the past 5 years. Many of them were mercenaries for the CIA during the Vietnam War. They have settled in Southern California, particularly in Orange County, and in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, Seattle, Portland, and in the highlands of western Montana, among other places. In several of these places, the mysterious seizures are the leading killers of Hmong adults, according to medical detectives who are studying the problem. That study, which involves local health officials and investigators from the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, has not uncovered the cause of the attacks. But according to the experts, it has begun to yield information that may help prevent or treat these mysterious attacks that kill in the night. We believe they are cardiac in nature, perhaps some kind of spasm or disturbance of the electrical mechanism of the heart, said one doctor. We may never know exactly what causes them. There are so many variables, but at least we may teach the Hmong how to treat and prevent them. The malady is so new that neither the medical investigators nor the Hmongs themselves have a formal name for it. The refugees have told investigators that such deaths apparently never occurred while the Hmongs lived in the remote highlands of Southeast Asia. The first documented case apparently occurred in Orange County in 1977 when a healthy young man named Lai Dawa died in his sleep. Joanne Gill, then a county social worker, recalls the death because she knew Lai Dawa so well. He was such an extreme example because he was so big and robust, and he had been a medic. He was at least sophisticated enough about health matters that he would have known if he was sick. Gill said she was unable at the time to convince anyone else that the death suggested a problem. There was an autopsy which put down the cause of death as acute cardiac insufficiency. That is a fancy way of saying they didn't know exactly what killed him, she said. Other deaths followed during the next several years and throughout the country. Only in retrospect did authorities begin to pay attention. I first learned of the possibility last spring when I received a call from a reporter in Minneapolis asking whether we had any unexplained deaths among Hmong men. Among Hmong, said Dr. Tom Pendergast, Oregon County epidemiologist. Before I even had a chance to check, I had another call from Portland asking the same question. That was when we began to suspect we had a problem. What Pendergast and his colleagues found on further study was a total of 20 clearly establishable cases, 19 men and one woman between 25 and 65 who went to bed seemingly well and died during the night. All were either found dead in the morning or were observed during the night to be making some gurgling noises in a collapsed state from which they could not revive. Pendergast said that since the deaths were not attended by physicians, they became coroner's cases, adding, in all the cases, an autopsy was not able to uncover an adequate explanation of the deaths. Pendergast said the four of these cases were discovered in Orange County. In addition, two other cases, which he calls possibilities, have occurred, but not enough is known about them to say definitively they were caused by the mysterious syndrome. The number is relatively limited, even for a community of 7,000, the number of Hmong refugees in Orange County. But it becomes more meaningful when you discover that there have only been 13 deaths among Hmong adults in the county at that time, he said. In other words, it may be that half of all deaths of Hmongs have been caused by this. When Prendergast said the federal public health officials began exploring the phenomenon in the rest of the country, they found similarly alarming figures. It was reported in Portland, for instance, that in 1 year there had been only 4 deaths among Hmongs, Prendergast said, and all 4 of them were unexplained. According to Dr. Roy Barron of the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, the heaviest concentration of cases is in Minneapolis-St. Paul, where between 10,000 and 12,000 Hmongs have settled, and where 6 cases have been reported. 4 confirmed cases each have been reported in Orange County and in Portland, and single cases have been reported in Los Angeles, San Diego, Toledo, Lawton, Oklahoma, Seattle, and Des Moines. The extent of the disease has spawned an intensive national study. One of the first concerns was whether the deaths might involve a disease that could be spread from the Hmong to other groups. The investigators have been able to rule that possibility out, they say. But the search for the cause of the attacks has not been otherwise successful, according to Dr. Barron. I'm afraid we are still fishing. We are accumulating data which may soon allow us to discard some possible causes, but we have not narrowed the field very far. This lack of success in explaining the attacks has given rise to widespread speculation about causes. The most widely circulated speculation revolves around the enormous stress or culture shock which the Hmong people are presumed to be encountering in their efforts to adapt to life in the United States. It is all but impossible for any of us to understand how much change these people have experienced, said Prendergast, and there is no question that such change can have fundamental importance to death. But the medical investigators say that it is all but impossible to chart the effect of stress since it is so hard to measure. In addition, such stress would have to be more severe on men than on women if it is to be a viable explanation. And besides, the most recent death in Orange County was that of a well-adapted individual, a social worker who participated in the American system and was helping his fellow refugees, said Prendergast. He was serving a useful function and appeared to be adapting quite well. A second possible explanation for the attacks, that they are delayed reactions to gas attacks by the North Vietnamese, is widely held by the Hmongs themselves. Most of them believe it is somehow related to the gassing, said social worker Gill. Hmong leaders have sought in the past several years to draw international attention to the plight of their people, focusing on the alleged campaigns of extermination being waged against the Hmongs in Laos. General Vang Pao, the most powerful single leader in the Hmong community in the United States, has made clear his desire to mobilize international opinion against the Vietnamese. The allegations of gassing have played an important political role in that effort. But U.S. medical investigators say they have not been able to find any indications that gas attacks might be responsible for the mysterious deaths. None of the next of kin were aware that any of the victims had been exposed to gas, said Orange County's Dr. Prendergast. On top of that, there aren't any known toxic materials that would induce those kind of delayed effects months or years after exposure. In addition, he said, the Orange County Coroner's Office Toxicology Lab, which has an international reputation, found no signs of poisoning in any of the Orange County victims. When we don't have an adequate explanation for the deaths, anything is a possibility, he said. We cannot rule out gassing. But if we found no evidence of it either, and none would usually expect that kind of evidence if it were the cause. Even though gassing and stress do not seem particularly promising explanation of the mysterious deaths, the medical detectives studying the 20 cases say they have made some progress in the past several months. Dr. Vu Dinh Minh, a U.S.-trained Vietnamese physician who has worked extensively with the Hmong, said that the cause of death may still be in question, but it seems relatively clear now that the mechanism is cardiac. Min and others say that the victims display the symptoms of some form of heart attack, perhaps a disturbance in the rhythm of the cardiac muscle. This diagnosis is supported by the discovery of at least one survivor of an attack who was saved by emergency medical aid and hospitalization. The unidentified victim, a member of the Hmong community in Seattle, has become in effect a living laboratory for the study of the malady. When he arrived at the hospital, he was found to be in ventricular fibrillation, said Prendergast. The heart muscle was contracting without affecting normal beats, just sort of quivering. With appropriate treatment, the patient survived and went on over the next several weeks to develop the typical electrocardiogram pattern of a person who had suffered a heart attack. But, said Prendergast, when the man was examined surgically, he was found to have no sign of cardiac artery disease or the type we traditionally expect with a heart attack. That suggests that the attacks may involve disturbances in heart rhythm, perhaps spasms which appear quickly and then quickly dissipate without inflicting the kind of long-term damage that might be discovered in autopsy. It also suggests that victims of the attacks might be saved by emergency medical aid and cardiopulmonary resuscitation. Our study also indicates that the deaths may not be as abrupt as we first thought, said Min, who is also a UC Irvine professor of medicine. The victims may have as much as 15 minutes before death arrives. That 15 minutes would be more than enough time to summon help, he said. A cardiac mechanism can be handled, Min said. It just takes organization and training. For that reason, he and Prendergast have recommended to the Hmongs that they seek assistance from Orange County health officials and from other sources to begin a CPR training program for the wives and other family members of Hmong men who might become victims. The Hmongs also need training in the kind of emergency care available so that paramedics and others could be summoned quickly to help any stricken men. The fact that there is so little evidence of damage to the heart may be a sign that we can intervene with CPR and save lives, said Min. But the important thing is that rather than just calling it a mystery, may have a positive way of dealing with the problem. There you go. A little more info. More deaths. The deaths continue. Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. Dun dun dun. There was another article on July 14th. They still had not come up with any answers. Mysterious malady. And it was basically the same shit. Then there was another one from September 12th. A puzzle of Laotian refugee deaths is probed in South Dakota, San Diego. SD, that's South Dakota, right? But is probed in San Diego. At this point, it was up to 35 deaths, all at night while they were sleeping. Some people have found the victims gasping for breath and having difficulty breathing, and no one has found out what the cause is. We are all baffled. Then we had another one, July 10th of 1983, night deaths of Asian men unexplained. Healthy Indonesians, Filipinos, Japanese expire with a snap. Tokyo. Each year, hundreds of apparently healthy young Japanese die suddenly in their sleep, sometimes with a gasp or shout, and doctors do not know why. Reports of similar deaths in the Philippines and among Indo-Chinese refugees in the United States have given rise to speculation by medical experts that the disease might be common to ethnic groups throughout Asia. In Japan, the mysterious killer is called pukuri, an onomatopoetic term that suggests a demise that strikes unexpectedly with a snap. Although the fatal episode in pukuri disease is much like a heart attack, experts say victims mostly are men in their 20s and 30s, and are generally robust and rarely have a history of symptoms related to heart disease. It's not a matter of the heart being good or bad, said Dr. Michio Inoue of the Tokyo Metropolitan Medical Examiner's Office, which studies pukuri. They seem to be dying of heart failure, but we can only guess about the cause. 80 deaths were reported in Tokyo alone in 1980. All but four of them were men. They estimate at least 500 Japanese and perhaps more than 1,000 a year die in a typical year. Pretty wild. Cambodians, Vietnamese in the United States. A deadly disease called Benguet that we talked about before attacks sleeping young men in the Philippines. There are no statistics about the death, but it strikes those who go to sleep immediately after a heavy meal. And tradition has it that the death is preceded by nightmares. So there you go. So there was like this whole rash of these mysterious things, right? Where people were dying in their sleep unexplained. And this is a little bit of what kind of fed the idea of perhaps there's a nerve agent. You know, perhaps the government is evil, but perhaps it's Frederick Krager, killer, night stalker. I'm sure that name's not already taken. All right, well, we're way over time for October 2nd. But the good news is we'll still see you again tomorrow.